Good morning. Today is Friday, September the 8th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Billy Gillespie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
So what's new in the fire biz, huh? Holy cow.
Holy cow.
You know, I can remember, well, let me grab a quote here before
sounds
I start,
good.
Start on my tirade here. Pablo Picasso. When I was a kid, I drew like Michelangelo. It took me years to learn how to draw like a kid.
You had to go backwards.
Yeah. June, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or May. One of those two. You were a little bit more prophetic than what I had given you credit for at the time. Saying, you know, with all the rain and stuff, there's going to be some fire load out there that's going to be a little bit more significant, and we're going to have to be paying attention. And
at the time, it's wet, it's green.
Crap, I hate it when you're right. This is...
Oh,
it's intriguing to me on a whole bunch of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
So, firstly, I guess let's take it from a fire guy perspective. How are the troops doing dealing with the fires in Delnord and Curry and Trinity? You know, just those that are in our neighborhood. Let's not even worry about
right,
Southern California.
Right, the stuff that's Southern Cal or out of the state.
Yeah.
You know, they've been able, on a lot of the fires in California, they've been able to move a lot of resources into them as they've got resources available. And
I guess that's the big asterisk there, right?
That's the big one because, you know, the more fires you get, the farther it spreads the resources out. Oregon's a little bit different game in that, you know, out of state, there's agreements back and forth. But like in the case of the Chetco Bar fire, they did for a period of time, Cal Fire resources were moved up there.
Oh, yeah, we saw the trucks going, moving,
The state OES resources that various fire departments have, they moved some of their resources up. But then, interestingly, they were there for a week or week and a half, and a lot of them were released, and they were sent back. Some of the scuttlebutt I heard is they cost too much, and so some of them got kicked out. Fortunately, they have brought resources from the Oregon side in on that fire, but we've still watched that fire continue to grow.
Well, they're using National Guard. I mean, they're bringing in a whole bunch of different folks.
And we've
seen the strike teams,
different resources.
Right, and those are federal.
Yeah, you'll see they'll bring hotshot crews in, engine crews. They do have the National Guard there. They've been bringing a lot of private resources in, and you know. But we've continued to watch that fire grow. The last number I saw was 161,000, and that was a couple of days ago.
180 is what they were saying yesterday.
Yeah. You know, and I have no doubt. I mean, I'm hopeful that they got some rain out of what we saw up there to at least slow it, but it wasn't enough to put it out.
Now, if I didn't know you better, I would sound like you were kind of bragging a little bit there on Cal Fire.
In the state, they do a good job.
Versus Oregon?
Cal Fire has a method with mutual aid to be able to move resources, and it's one of the most effective mutual aid systems in the country. A lot of other states looked at the model that California put together, you know, 30 years ago, and the military uses very similar to what California does. In Oregon, it's a smaller firefighting force. They do bring in a lot of local government. Some of the fires further north, up in the Columbia River Gorge, I've got some peers that I've been in classes with back east that they're on those fires. They're from departments in the Portland area. And so they're cycling in and out as they need resources. It's really what you know, across the states, it's what all of us do at the time. You know, if we've got the availability, we'll send somebody.
Now, there's the Eclipse Complex that's on the state line also.
Right.
That is on the southern side,
right,
of the demarcation. Right. That fire's been growing also.
Yep.
So is that a different set of circumstances, or because it's still newer, quote unquote, or old, younger rather than old, that there's still some of that initial growth that's going on?
Some of the initial growth, it's my understanding with some of the different locations, you know, it depends on what the focus is. Is it a federal focus? Is it a Forest Service land fire? Is it a state resource fire? It depends. You know, some of it looks at the philosophy of management to be able to try and reduce fuel load, but when they get too big, now you've lost that management tool.
Well, let's save that part for the next segment.
Sounds good.
Because I'm kind of drooling about that one already. But the growth pattern that's going, is it primarily now on state properties or is it on federally owned?
As far as I know, it's federal.
So the resources are primarily Forest Service.
Right.
Rather than CAL FIRE, and they are the secondary response.
Right.
Now, we don't have anything right here immediately, but
right.
Have you guys been getting the call to either go out to Ruth Lake or any of the neighboring?
We've had a couple of calls during the course. Most of it for station coverage. It's hit us a couple of times when we didn't have the resources available. So we said, we can't fill it. So they kicked to another agency and they were able to pony somebody up.
It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika Thunder Country 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action all season long. Brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Bill, the concept of forest management has always been in the realm or with a backdrop of lumber.
Mm-hmm.
Never public safety. Honestly, I don't think even environmental health. Now, there may have been lip service.
Right.
You know, somewhere for the deer to grow up, and the spotted this, and the slimy,
keeping the forests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was never public safety
as
an issue. We've seen an awful lot of this now in the last probably 25 years since it really took hold. And we've seen some really horrific fires in our area. I mean, you have to go back to before fire departments. when Trinidad burned down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was in the 40s. I mean, there were no fire trucks in the neighborhood.
Right.
That kind of stuff, to see anything of this magnitude, as a pro, what do you see that's out there that is missing in this equation that's allowing these fires to get, well, and we had it down in Lake County too.
Right.
To the magnitude that these things are.
You know, you've got a series of different things that tie in. Like if we look to the north with the Chetco Bar fire, that fire started, it was lightning back in July. That fire started in the burn scar from the Sour Biscuit fire. There's 15 years difference. So you've got a tremendous amount of brush growth.
And for folks who are unfamiliar.
Yeah.
That fire was 500,000 acres.
Exactly. I mean, it burned both sides. It was in California. It was in Oregon. You can still see some of it when you drive up 199, look to the north side or the left-hand side as you're headed toward Grants Pass, and all of those bright white trees that are burnt off sticking up, that was the Sour Biscuit fire. 15 years before it, that in 87, there was a big chunk burned in that same area. And so here's an every 15-year cycle. You've got the brush growth. I can understand the philosophy of, okay, we want to be able to burn the understory. The problem is they get too big then. And if they aren't controlled in an early point from the experience, and I came from the CAL FIRE, the pre-CAL FIRE, CDF days, you went in, you put them out. And, you didn't let them get huge. If it was an active fire you were on and it made more sense, you'd do a firing operation to maybe clear fuel back to a fuel break or a road or something like that. But you didn't let it continue to grow and continue to spread and monitor it. You took action on it and you put it out. And part of what we see now more with structure loss is more people live in that urban interface or that wildland urban interface. You'll hear the pros refer to the wooey zone. And that's the
wooey?
Wooey.
Not whoopee.
Wildland urban interface. And it's that area where people have wanted to get out of the heart of the community so they can get a little bit of space. The best views are always the middle or the top of the slope. And that's, of course, where the fire burns the most active. But now we've got property in those areas, too. And you get, at points, you can have different philosophies on property versus environment. And that can clash at times between the agencies. Because, like for me, my experience was, we get a wildland fire, we're going to do structure, we're going to put crews on it to try and start putting the wildland fire out. But we're also going to do structure protection to try and protect people's property. Because, I mean, face it, for all of us, what we've got in our homes, that's really everything we've got. And so, you'd go hard and heavy to try and do structure protection to protect these people's places. Some of the philosophy is you put it out to protect the trees. The structures, that's an incidental loss. And
so it's really a whole different juxtaposition of how mm-hmm. to prioritize
exactly.
the resources.
Exactly. And you can see that at times on different fires to where the focus of initially the focus may end up being, okay, we're going to manage it, but then it hits a point. Okay, that command team is moved out and a new team is brought in, and hopefully they work well with the locals so that the local concerns and the local policies can be dealt with. We just saw a command team change on the Chetco Bar fire, and hopefully they can start getting some containment on that fire. We've been living the last few weeks, and I know you guys have got facilities up there that are in that threat zone as well. We're looking at evacuation orders and, a level one, be ready to go, level three, this is mandatory type deal. Well, 2 days ago, they're talking about the Illinois Valley up along 199. You're under a level one, be ready to go. That fire's spreading different directions, and it made some big runs this weekend when we had all the heat around here.
Yeah, running east.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's intriguing when I hear fire lines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking D8 cats knocked this thing. It can't. And this thing's jumping it and jumping it and jumping it.
It keeps jumping.
But I'm
it's so
understanding
big
now that fire line isn't quite as wide as what I had
right.
in my mind. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? through the Decade of Difference initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Billy, looking at what is the state of, I get not firefighting, but the culture of firefighting. Mm-hmm. You got feds, you got states, you got locals. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, it's a muscle flexing exercise. Who's in charge? Who's the big dog? Who's going to? Okay.
Right.
I guess what was as concerning for me in the last segment was when you indicated when a new coordinator for an event comes in, priorities can change. And I thought, that's got to be disturbing as all get out, because I thought everybody was playing from the same playbook. You know, you guys all train together. Everybody knows what the same definitions are. And we're going to. But it sounded like there's a variable in here that's either it's more disturbing than interpretation of local building codes based on who in the department you're talking to.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be goofy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, typically an incident management team is brought in on a big incident, and that team will come in. Quite often they'll take over for the initial incident commander. It might be within the first couple of days. It might be something gets big, our fire up north across the border, something gets big, they bring a team in. And what they'll typically do, they'll shadow for like a 12-hour or a period of time, they'll shadow the team that's in place. See what's going. They'll be able to get, you know, ideally, they'll work with the local policies. They'll make contact with the local community so that they can take that local aspect into play. Because a lot of times, an incident management team, it might be coming from another part of the country, and they may or may not have been here before.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not.
You can have in the state. There's a number of incident management teams in California. Across the country, there's a number of national teams or federal teams.
So they could plunk, in theory, somebody from Nebraska, drop them into Oregon and say, go?
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, what's this Hill thing?
Right. A lot of the aspect under the incident command system, it's the same philosophy wherever you go, and whether you're working on a wildland fire for the command aspect or you're dealing with a hurricane or flooding, it's about process. But being able to incorporate the local knowledge, and then, you know, depends on the jurisdiction also. It could be federal response area. It could be state response area. It could be local. Here in the greater Eureka area, we interface a lot with CAL FIRE. We've got part of the jurisdiction we cover is local response area, or what's referred to as LRA. We've also got areas that are in our first in that are state response area, or SRA. The McKay track.
The whole fee's goofiness from a couple years ago.
When you'd have some community members that didn't pay it because they're in LRA, but some that were billed because they were in SRA, maybe just across the street.
So for the Eureka area, Cutton is, Freshwater is.
Right, you've got different pieces of it.
But for the state guys to be responding is another 45 minutes
your
response time.
Yeah,
and
if you get something, we get three or four or five fires going all at the same time in the county. It strips the resources very thin. We had a fire, a few weeks ago, where it was out in the McKay tract. That's state response area. We responded to it. Unfortunately, they had a couple of other fires going in the southern Humboldt area that they had structures threatened. They were losing buildings. And so that first night, we interfaced with the CAL FIRE dispatch center, but we didn't have anybody on the fire from CAL FIRE. We worked it.
In that scenario, was it Humboldt Bay Fire protocol?
Yes.
And you did what you did?
We went in just like if we were working with Cal Fire. We got a hose lay in. We got it surrounded, got everything slowed down. For us, we pulled an engine in from Samoa as well. They came over and assisted. And then the next day as resources backfilled into the county from other areas for Cal Fire, then Cal Fire took it over the next day. And they continued with it because it was in their response area.
But when they came in, did they continue with the same initial footprint of that you guys did?
Overall, yeah, because we worked together on a lot of that. We trained together. I mean, back in the end of June, we did that big drill in Cutton. People saw air tankers and everything. It keeps us talking and working together, working the same aspect.
So when you get an incident command team from out of the area, they don't know
They've got to interface with you know, either the local, the state, or the federal for that area, so that they can get a lay of the land. When I worked, you'd go someplace new with CDF, be on a strike team. I'd go through, ask, hey, you live around here? What's fire do? What have you seen? So you could grab onto that information.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:41. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We have returned with Billy Gillespie, final segment of this week. Bill, when you are in a situation like we have in the area, whether it's Chetco Bar, Eclipse, or the stuff in, what are they calling Trinity Counties?
And they've got the Helena Fire.
Is it just, doesn't have a sexy name yet.
Yeah. Okay. They named it after about where it started.
Yeah, well, at least that one makes sense.
Yeah.
At what time do you say, we're going in and we're just going to put this thing out? Not really worrying about air quality. We're really not worried about filing and EIR and fire suppression trumps the immediate environmental stuff that seems to be the norm for any other kind of condition. Do you guys just take precedent priority, run and go, and... You know, you're not going to go in there and mess things up on purpose, but you know, if you've got to pull water out of a creek, you pull water out of the creek and you don't worry about...
Right. You'll utilize, you know, if there's a stream that you can use as a water source, portable pumps, if you can get an engine close to be able to use a suction hose to be able to pump from it. The big thing is you don't want to see oil going down the stream, but we'll utilize the water. And
how would oil get down the stream?
Well, if you've got the vehicle parked in the edge of the water where you're operating,
or just some of the road gunk and stuff,
some of that kind of thing. And then, you know, in the past, the older units used light oil in the primer pump so that they could make a seal. Well, now there's environmentally friendly, you know, stuff you put in to make.
But that doesn't
seal.
Enter into the decision making process. No. When you're putting on the fire.
The big thing with it is, you know, yeah, you want to protect the environment as much as you can. Well, the reality, part of protecting that environment can be actually getting the fire put out. And you see them, the smaller that they get put out, you'll see the containment is going up, like over in Trinity County. And they've got a lot of resources in there. They've lost a lot of homes over there, a lot of structures. They're trying to catch it early rather than something that started and it's been in a wilderness area, but now it's gotten so big that the challenge is just being able to try and corral it.
As a guy with a couple years under his belt, do you think Chetco Bar and the Eclipse are just going to keep burning in one form or another until we get the rains and the snow?
I do. I do. The containment date that I heard for the Chetco bar was like mid-October. And they're going to keep working. You know, they're working to strengthen the lines all the time, trying to get it corralled. But until it really gets good measurable rain, that fire's going to continue to burn. And there's going to be smokes in that all the way to the rainy season.
So containment is just more not allowing spread.
Exactly.
But if it'll you can, burn hot where it is.
Yeah, if you can keep it from growing, if they can get it slowed down to where it doesn't spread anymore, ultimately it'll go out when the rains come.
Now, is there
keep hoping for rain.
A concern, even if you have it contained and it's kind of reduced, it can flare again?
You can. If you've got pockets that didn't burn, what they refer to in the wildland as islands of fuel, they can spark again. And if you've got the right wind conditions, it can end up sparking or spotting outside the lines, and now it's off to the races.
So we got about 2 months of holding our breath.
Fingers crossed.
Thanks for coming by.
Hey, you bet.
Go get them, guy. See everybody on Monday.